Tinder in the morning, only on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Long weekend Friday. Let's get at it.
In the time of chimpanzees, I was a monkey. Butane in my veins and mouth.
Back here, artist of the day. It is Bruce Dobigan and Ryan Pinder in on a vacationing Boomers on his morning show. We're just renting the seats. We're not here full time.
Is he out of town or has he gone to Brandon? What's he doing?
I can't keep track. He has too many dogs and children and lawn projects and toy cars and trucks. He could be anywhere. Sleeping's a safe bet at this point, though. 8:03. Talking about some of the cap constraints that some of these championship caliber clubs face in a cap universe. We saw the Chicago Blackhawks, after all three Stanley Cups, have to liquidate assets, so to speak. Dustin Byfuglien, Andrew Ladd, Troy Brouwer. That was round one. Christopher Stieg and Brian Campbell, I believe, came after another cup. We saw
Frolik,
on and on the list goes. And this summer, more of the same, as Johnny Oduya is shipped, as we see Brandon Saad go to Columbus. We're not here to tear down the cap. It's not going anywhere. The owners want it, and they've got it. But what we can do is look at Chicago and L.A. and some of the bigger teams out there that have won cups, Boston, that are in cap jail.
Yep.
Boston paid a price to get out. Whew. Yep. Dougie Hamilton.
Yep.
What can the Flames learn from this? Well, here's what we've got. $2.19 million of cap space, Bruce, this year, which is all of a sudden feels like, oh, we'll bring in Cam Warden and $6 million, give us a prospect. Oh, we'll take your bad Alex Semenko. Oh, we'll take this bad contract. Give us your bad contracts. Give us a prospect. We'll do you a huge favor. Signed Murray Edwards and the Calgary Flames. We're your buddy. That conversation is completely dead.
Yeah.
In fact, they're in a spot where they might have to cut ties with people they like very soon.
Yeah, you can't keep everybody. And as I've said before, in the cap system, you control the destinies of five contracts. You've got to decide who those guys are. The Chicago Blackhawks is obvious. They have that core. They've maintained them starting through 2010 to today, and they're going to be here there in 2 or 3 years. That's what you've got to do. The Flames are going to have to decide their core five guys. I think it's becoming obvious who they are. Everybody else is either a haircut or a sort of a one-way deal or a short-term deal, et cetera. You cannot hang on to, and this was all, of course, the Lance Boma discussion. Can you hang on to the Lance Bomas? Can you pay them value, et cetera? And it's almost impossible in this day and age to do that. And so the Flames, you know, they're not going to be exempted from any of this. They've added to their problems a little bit by, and I made the point at the time with Monahan, that his rookie year, I know he was capable of playing, et cetera. I just said, I don't know if I'd want to get there any sooner than I had to in terms of the salary cap. And then, of course, we saw the Bennett thing in the playoffs where they burned a year of that salary for, you know, one playoff series.
Well, and it was Anaheim. If they didn't know they were dead in the water at that point, they should have. They were completely overmatched.
And so now it's hastened the day when you have to make decisions on everybody, and when you're going to have to figure out your five, and you're going to have to, as you say goodbye to some people you really like and some people you know are part of your core. And that all starts today when we start to see the Giordano numbers, and that'll tell you where your wiggle room is, if any, where you're going, how you know, what other guys you can afford, what you can pay with Monahan. The bridge deals will be interesting, whether they, you know, it's all bridge deals to come out of entry level or whether they give somebody the extended money. Those are all things that are, you know, we're going to see.
So the situation, I think we are in a universe where they have to at least build a model for a flat cap. If the Canadian dollar continues to sink, we could see a year or 2 years with no growth in the cap. And that is bad news for teams.
Or even go down.
Which is we've never seen. Yeah. I mean, outside of work stoppages,
yes.
And there's been a lot of those. Thank you, Gary. We have not seen a cap go down. And it's a disaster because teams budget for growth, and agents and players also demand raises and have probably earned raises.
Well, we talked about the idea, too, you know, that a prove it contract. And are the Flames not obliged, once a guy's proved it, to pay him that money? You know, prove it contracts are prove it to the league. They're not prove it to the Flames. It would be nice if the Flames can take that thing with Boma and turn it into a contract. With some other guys, they're just not going to be able to do that. But the league will pay attention to it. And that's why, you know, as we start looking at some trade deadlines getting forward, certainly for the Flames, they may have to turn those things into some value. They may have to move some guys out and get some value at the trade deadline, even if it hurts their short-term prospects.
All right, so here, let's play a little game, Bruce. We've got $2.19 million of cap space. Let's assume it's the exact same cap for 2016-17 as it is for the coming season. So it's a flat cap. There's zero growth. Likely it'll grow a little. Maybe there's a chance it goes down, but we're going to play the game with a flat cap. You've got expiring contracts. Off the books comes Jiří Hudler at $4 million. David Jones at $4 million. Mark Giordano at $4 million. He needs a deal. Chris Russell at $2.6 comes off. Kari Ramo at $3.8 and Jonas Hiller at $4.5. That's $22.9 million. I don't want too much math here. But that's $22 million of cap space you've created, and we already know you've got $2.1 million. Let's say Ferland costs $1 million, so we'll call it $1.1 million. They've got essentially less than $24 million of cap space next summer. That sounds like tons.
Yeah.
Problem is, what's Mark Giordano going to make? Eight? Nine?
Yep. In real numbers, it'll be above that, but I would
I don't
say
care
eight
about real
fives.
Numbers, just the cap, right?
I would say 8 fives, okay, so, for an extended period seems
so
like
eight
a
five.
Reasonable.
Monahan, argument. We want to go long-term with. We heard Chris Peters talk about it. The bridge might be cheap for now, but it's going to be more expensive long-term. I don't think there's any questions about his character or dedication to being a great hockey player. If we go long-term with Monahan, let's say somewhere between 6 and 8 years, what does that cost?
Well, you're buying out some cheap years, but you're also buying out some expensive years. I have to think 5 fives to 6s.
Yeah, I'm going to say 6 because I'm looking Derek Stepan. Yeah. Now, he's closer to free agency, but would you rather have Stepan or Monahan?
Right now, I'd rather have Monahan.
Yeah, and Stepan's making 6+.
Yeah.
So let's say Monahan at 6, and that might be conservative. His agent's going to want more than 6. We know that.
Well,
Johnny Gaudreau needs a contract next summer. What's that going to cost?
Well, it gets back to my original thing, which is, who are your core 5 contracts?
You can only pay a certain number of guys. I've heard you say this. I love it.
And you have to pay the market value. So Monahan is going to have to be market value. I said 5 to 6, probably 6s, if you're going to pay him a long-term deal.
No, Johnny.
So who are those 5 guys?
Well, I think
Giordano.
We're mentioning them. Giordano's Monahan. Up. Monahan's up. Johnny's coming up. He's got to be one of them. Yeah. So what's he going to make? Give me a number. 5? Yeah, probably have to if he's flirting with a point per game and he's in his second season in the NHL.
If we're looking at how he does at the end of this year and where his number's going to be, it's a real show me season for him. But he has to be part of your core 5 guys.
So that's we'll say 5. That's
so
fine.
Who are your other guys? Who are, again? There's 3 guys we've just mentioned. Your 4th guy is Hamilton. You've already got him.
And Brody,
under.
You've got as
and
well.
And Brody. So there's your 5 guys.
Yeah.
Now what do you do with Chris Russell? Can you find a way to fit him in? If the message of the Chicago Blackhawks this year was that it's not so much the goalie as the defenseman, you need Chris Russell.
Yeah, well, so it's interesting.
Fit him into the pile.
So let's continue to play the game then. You're going to re-sign Chris Russell? You think you need him? Even though you've got Brody Giordano extended, obviously, is the assumption. You've got Hamilton. You've still got Weidman with some term left. You need Russell, even though with those 4 I mentioned?
I think Weidman's the guy who goes.
Okay. Well, let's not play trades yet, but if you're re-extending Russell, what's that, 4 a year?
Yeah, he's in that. He's 4, 4, 5. Yeah,
okay, Russell's 4, and by the way, both goalies come off the books, so you have to pay someone to play net. Now, Joni Ortio might be ready at a league minimum or something close to it, but there's going to have to be someone that you at least trust and probably has NHL experience. There's another $3 million for another goalie to help.
But how many NHL teams were killed by their goaltending this year? Like really killed by their goaltending. In other words, I think you can make do with guys in the middle of the pack financially. You can find those guys, and there's a bunch of them floating around.
I'm doing the
math. That's not the one I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about the defense and making sure you get your defense guys under. Where are we now? What number are we at now?
You're not going to like it. So here's what I've done.
I don't mind it, but
we have
hate it.
Just under $24 million in cap space for next summer.
How much did we spend?
And we have spent on Giordano 8.5, on Monahan 6, that's 14.5. Another 5 for Johnny is 19.5. 4 on Chris Russell is 23.5. And you still haven't found someone to play net.
Well, then we're doing some trading.
And Sam Bennett's due for a deal in a year.
Yeah. Well,
do you see how hard this is? And like I bring this up and people say, oh, what are you talking about, cap crunch? They, if you're doing models 2 and 3 years out and we have a flat cap, you're now being punished for collecting young talent. Now you're like, okay, who do we trade? We got to get to, can we get Weidman out of here? Geez, can we buy out Mason Raymond? We need cap space. I wonder if anyone would take Lance Bulma's deal. Probably they would. We like him, but we can't afford him. Like, these are the issues that were not talked about for a half decade here that are going to rear their heads very soon. And by the way, if you're in the re-sign Yuri Hudler camp,
yeah,
try working the numbers.
Yeah.
Because he's not going to take a hometown deal. His hometown is in check. He's here to make USD.
Yeah.
$6-7 a year? That doesn't fit in the budget.
No, it's not happening here. I don't think anybody's thought that Hudler is a long-term guy here. No, whether you like him or hate him, whether you think he's a catalyst or whether you think he's a guy just making money because he knows he's got a contract coming up, he just doesn't fit into the model. And again, if you're optimistically seeing that cap going up with a 75-cent dollar, ain't happening.
Never mind if we
there's
see
no new money pile, and expansion money doesn't go into the salary cap. So anybody's, oh, well, you know, the two expansion teams, straight to the owners, players get none of
it. Yeah, that goes to the country club and to the yacht and to the catering staff at the your third residence in Barbados.
So
it does not go towards the cap. So while you've collected a lot of nice young chips and you have a nice young core, it's going to be very difficult to keep this group together long enough to win something significant together. And that brings us back to where this whole conversation's been since July 1st. Why isn't Mark Giordano signed? Because it's immensely difficult to squeeze him in and keep everyone else.
Right. But I don't see you winning without Mark Giordano.
I see you have a better chance with Dougie Hamilton than without him. But we're now here exactly a month into free agency. This is the 31st day of July. It's the 31st day that you can go out and spend all you want on guys that don't have deals, and you can extend guys that already have deals. I think a lot of people are shocked it isn't done yet. They said it was top priority. It probably remains top priority. It's obviously not easily done, or it would have been done already.
Yes, and again, we're talking about Stamkos as being the bell cow for a lot of contracts around the league, and looking at some other things. And I think it's Rich Winters negotiating on behalf of Mark Giordano, and their biggest thing is, we gave you a haircut, now we want to shave.
Well, but that's
we want to shave you.
I'm sorry, not how the market works.
Well,
if you paid less for eggs 2 weeks ago, it doesn't affect what the price of eggs is today.
Yeah, but
was Mark Giordano a Norris candidate when he signed the last deal?
But if you got the best eggs in the entire market, as opposed to
you're
the
gonna
cheap
get paid.
Ones,
you're going to get paid.
Yeah,
you are.
And he's the eggs that make the best omelet, and that's what they understand. And there's got with those five guys you control, with them you can be loyal. With them you can do the loyalty oath. And Giordano's a guy who they know took short-term money and gave him a haircut and never griped and never said, oh, you know what, I'm gonna take off three shifts because of that. He did it the whole time. You're sending a message to him. And you're also, here's the other thing, Ryan. You're sending a message to the league. This is a franchise that has been like Death Valley for the last few years. Nobody has wanted to come here.
They've been through the first round twice since 1989.
Right.
So absolutely agreed. Sometimes people get the rosy glasses on here. They forget that the top 25% of the league gets to the second round just to be in the 75th percentile twice since 89. Twice. That's horrendous. That's one of the worst track records in the league.
But how you treat guys also goes around the league in terms of people wanting to come here and wanting to stay here. What message do you send out if after, you know, Mark Giordano, him taking the haircut, staying here, giving you the effort, you give him the old switcheroo and you know, you have to force him out. This is a place that needs to send a message that you want to play here in the NHL. You're an American guy, a European guy. You can come here and feel comfortable. The guys up the road, they got other problems too, but they're also having to prove that this is a place you want to go to.
Yep.
So I just think the symbolism of the Giordano deal is really important. I think there's so many things that are going into it. That's part of the reason it's taking time.
Yeah, it's immensely complex, and I still want to see him back in the fold. I'm not here to rain on anyone's parade and say trade G or anything silly. What I am saying is it's a very difficult negotiation for a lot of reasons, and one that we haven't even mentioned. He's 33 in the first year of the extension when it kicks in. If you're going 5, 6, 7 years, you're talking about a guy that is very close to 40 in the second half of the contract. We'll take a break, come back, and react to your thoughts at 960-960. Am I blowing this out of proportion, or are cap issues actually legitimately on the horizon as early as next summer for the Calgary Flames? Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Get connected. Text 960-960 to get your voice heard. Ryan Pinder in the morning on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Slow thing down a little. This is Beck, your artist of the day. 825.
Mellow me out, man.
This is the Dobigan version of the catalog from Beck, mellowing at his age.
You'll be old someday.
I think I feel like maybe as soon as September.
Once you have the kids, you'll be very old.
Yeah, when I'm elbow deep into a pair of diapers every 2 hours, that'll be...
That sweet smell of baby poop.
I don't know if that's how I'd describe it, but I don't know much about it. You would be the expert. I'm in trouble.
I had three, so I know all about it.
How was the spacing on those three?
3 and 5 years.
That's good.
That was good spacing.
Yeah.
Good spacing.
Yeah, I think my sister and brother and I are 4 and a half apart.
That's good.
That's how you do it. 3 and a half, 4 and a half. Yeah, that's my hat.
Except but the two eldest are both getting married next year.
Oh, you got the next generation coming out.
Well, yeah, they both decided to get married in the same year.
That's not going to cost any money, the old man, will it?
Well, I'm the father of the groom.
Oh, you're going to stick to that, hey? All right.
I'm pretty... One of the new fathers-in-law has got some money, so that won't be too bad.
All right, 8:26. It is a long weekend Friday. Bruce Dobigan in. My name is Ryan Pinder. Boom Boom is somewhere, just not here. I'm in his seat. There's lots of room to grow into the seat, if you know what I mean.
I do see you have the wide-bodied model.
The seat
model.
Is way... The back of this... My back's on the back of the... But it's the mouth's away from the mic, so I got the front of the seat.
He projects.
Something like that.
What a man, what a legend.
We open up the text line now. A lot of reaction to the conversation. I'm trying to build the case that cap troubles are on the horizon. And we're basing this on a few assumptions. One assumption is that they want to bring back Giordano. Another assumption is that you probably want to go long-term with Monahan. And the third assumption is that this cap isn't going to grow by the 15 to 20% we would come accustomed to seeing. And I don't know what the Canadian dollar is going to be in a year. You don't. If anyone did, they'd be hedging their life savings and net worth on it. No one knows where it's going to go. The economists don't know where it's going to go. They have good guesses and bad guesses.
They're not good.
They don't have a clue.
No.
So what we're going to do is, for assumption's sake, the third constant we're holding is a cap at the same price. And essentially the thesis was, yes, you're getting a lot of cap space with Hudler, Jones, Gio, Russell, Ramo, and Hiller's deals coming off the books, but you're also going to have to pay Gio, Monty, Johnny, a goalie, and for your case and your team and as a GM, you're going to pay Chris Russell as well.
Yep.
So reaction to that at 960-960. This segment has made me sad, guys. Thanks, Pinder. Lol. Gio at 8.5 will not work. Well, hey, if you want to pay Gio less than 8.5, you're going to have to probably go max term.
It'd be a 20-year contract.
Well,
if you want to get
eight's the most,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And I was sort of, we looked at some comparables, and it's tough because there's no one of his age that has been such a late bloomer. Mm. Like how many guys have had their first Norris caliber season at 31?
And the injury,
almost zero.
The injury that he had is not what you would necessarily associate with a guy getting older.
No.
Knees, ankles,
no.
Shoulders, and all that type of thing. A torn muscle is not something.
It's fluke, right?
Yeah, it's not something that shows you, oh, this guy's breaking down. Mm-hmm. He's going to break down. He's going to, you know, he takes a lot of punishment. He's going to break down. And, you know, for the guy who's depressed out there, the only thing I can say is every other team has to do it.
It's not unique to
you're
the
not
Flames.
The only ones.
And it's not nearly as grim as things have been in Boston, Chicago, Philadelphia.
Oh.
They have less than $1 million cap space, and now they just signed Voracek to an 8.25 a year deal.
A guy who scored 25 goals last year.
Trouble there. Well, hey, that's, you know, not giving him credit. You got to talk about assists if you're talking about his season. He was leading the league in scoring for a large portion of the season.
He was an all-star. Yep.
Absolutely. Don't forget, Gio took off to the KHL for a year back in the day over contract issues. He did, and Daryl Sutter was the GM. And I doubt Brad Treliving, Brian Burke, or Murray Edwards wants to pay for something that happened a decade ago.
You know what
he's
the issue was?
A lot of money playing in Calgary.
But you know what the issue was when he went to Russia?
One way, two way.
Exactly. It wasn't money.
No.
Well, it wasn't gross salary as opposed to something else.
Here's another text coming in, 960-960. In my opinion, if the Flames sign Gio for anything over 8, we should be worried about the cap going forward. Well, get worried about the cap moving forward. He's not going to sign for less than 8. I'd be shocked.
Well, why should he? There'll be a huge market for him. You think Stamkos would draw
11?
Yeah, 11. If Gio hits the market as an unrestricted free agent,
Why? Someone will pay him eight. Someone will go eight times eight.
Sure.
Right till he's 40. And it's scary. And you're not going to like the last few years of it, but that's probably what it's going to take to get him signed.
But we so rarely see anybody get to UFA status anymore. It's kind of like...
And that's why the cap crunch and the crop of guys set to become free agents this July is so intriguing. Again, one more time, the list of guys that could be available to the highest bidder in 11 months and a single day. Stamkos, Kopitar, Giordano, Staal, Bufflin, Backes, Ladd, Seabrook, Johnson, that's Eric Johnson,
yes,
Hudler, Okposo, Lucic. There was two other guys in that top 14 that I created that have signed extensions. Just two of the potential 14, you know, franchise-changing players. Kessler has re-upped with Anaheim at 6.875 a year. Not young.
No.
And it's not going to hurt you money-wise now, but the last half of that deal will be ugly. Voracek yesterday, 8.25 for max term, 8 years. So back to the text line we go. If you think you can get Gio at under eight, I don't see where the team has any leverage. If you're an agent, this is what you've worked for your whole career, Mark, is what you're telling him.
Mm-hmm.
You have the biggest opportunity in your life, in your one lap on planet Earth, to make a major windfall.
And you have to, if you know Gio, when he signed the other contract, he said, listen, I'm a kid from Woodbridge, Ontario, an Italian family. We never had anything. And what if I break my leg and I miss this lottery ticket? He said, I've got to reward my family. And that's why he took the previous deal. And he's going to think the same thing this time, but he's also going to think that, you know, it's also his lottery ticket to really hit the big time. And he deserves it. He deserves it because, you know, 25 teams around the NHL would love him in their room.
I think he wants to be here. The team obviously wants him here. I think he is probably one of the biggest reasons Bob Hartley won a Jack Adams this year, because the captain's buy-in was unparalleled. Sure. And if he's following the boss, everyone lines up and follows the boss too. I think everyone wants him to be here. The question is, when you have a hired negotiator, a professional negotiator working on your behalf, that agent is going to try to extract maximum value.
One thing I will say about Rich Winter is that he has in the past negotiated deals that weren't necessarily killing franchises. There are guys who would go to the wall. You know, and again, the famous Bobby Holik contract where he took 9.5 to be like a third center in New York City. There are those contracts. Rich Winter's habit has been to make contracts that he can sign for his player and the team. He's not necessarily been a killer. The other thing about all of these contracts, these free agents, is that's what killed the Brian Burke model in Toronto. Brian and had convinced MLSE that there were going to be, you were going to have Perry and you're going to have Getzlaff. And you had all these guys with Southern Ontario connections who were going to become UFAs, and the Leafs kept back money to do it. They were very prudent.
Never happened.
Guys never showed. Guys never showed, and they were standing there with a lot of money and nothing else. And so you've got to be cognizant of where the market's going.
Would you sign Gio at $8 million for 4 years, this text asked? Absolutely. The problem is his camp doesn't want 4 years.
That.
4 years is a slap in the face. He's your captain.
He'll do
He's
eight
in the prime
years.
Of his career, he'll argue. He just had his best season.
He'll do 4 10s, but he ain't doing 4 8s.
Very good. I agree. I think he would do 4 10s.
So you go back, if you want more years and the Flames will want to mitigate a bit, well, then you bring the number down, but it's going to take more than 4 years to do that. And he's got the leverage. He's got the PR value, and Flames know that.
Here's another one. Pinder, you're overblowing this. You can solve all these cap problems by trading players. Trade Weidman, trade Russell, trade Hiller. Sign Monahan, Gaudreau, and Gio. You should be fine. Well, here's the problem, is that how many teams do you think will be in cap trouble if it's a flat cap next year? Out of 30 teams in the NHL, how many will be in a position where they will have very tough decisions, have tough time re-signing players that need raises? 25?
Teams, you know, you start looking at teams like the Islanders who are starting to mature. They're going to be a team that all of a sudden you're going to have some, you know, the Tavares is obviously their top dog, but you're talking about Okposo.
The bulk of the league
is
going to be, if it's a flat cap, this is not a league that is built upon an expectation of a flat cap.
Yeah.
It's a league that's based upon 15, 20% growth a year, because that's what we've seen since the inception of the cap.
And that's what Gary tells the new owners.
So the problem
when he
with trying
see
to
that
trade
coming,
a bad contract.
And when he doesn't see that coming, then he has expansion. So here's some money to buy you off and don't be mad at me.
Well, and you know what? I know you and Gary are tight buds. You've got his back on everything this morning. But the problem I'm trying to illustrate is that if everyone has cap issues, you can't trade your cap issues away.
Yeah.
And the buyouts aren't as attractive as they used to be. The non-compliance buyouts were very nice.
Well, that's
they gone.
That's going to be something in the next contract, the next CBA. They're going to want more compliance buyouts, and there's going to be all this pressure. And as I say, in 4 years from now, the dead money team might be the one winning the Stanley Cup.
You guys are ridiculous. If you think 8x8 is feasible for a player that is surely to start declining, you can't beat age. Nobody does. I thought you guys were better than that. You think it's ridiculous that Gio would get 8x8 on the open market on July 1st?
You just talked about the Kessler deal. They know that the back half of the Kessler deal, with the style he plays, he's going to be beat up. His body isn't going to sustain for 6 years.
And he's not even the guy that got to the free market. That's still an internal extension.
So I don't think we're being naive. What we're talking about is a team that understands that the back half of the contract might not be, you know, love and kisses. It's going to be a guy who's probably going to be declining physically, but they want 4 years of him now. And this is why I keep talking about dead money, is teams are signing eight to get 4 years
and then
buy guys out, or just sit there and wait for the next lockout to get a break on it, because all across the league, that's where it's going to be. Sign eight and have a guy for four. So I don't believe that. I believe that he's going to break down physically. I agree with the texter, but I'm also seeing what the reality is.
Here's a great question, and it allows you to dream a little bit. What would the NHL look like if they never brought in a cap? Because this is something you'd advocate for.
Maybe.
Free market, let it rock. Or a luxury tax at a maximum. Yeah.
It would look like baseball. Guys get paid in baseball. The best players get paid in baseball. And a lot of guys are just scrambling to hang on.
So you'd have your higher paid players, your Kane, Taves, Stamkos, Geos, they'd make way more money than they do now.
Yep.
But your
other guys
fighting for just to get on a roster spot guys would make peanuts.
And remember, baseball is a 25-man roster. It's pretty close to the number that you're doing for hockey. So there is a comparable thing there in terms of volume of guys that you have to sustain, et cetera. So I like that better. I think it allowed – you want the big dogs to eat. At the end of the day, I'm about the business. And while I'd love to see Winnipeg win a Stanley Cup, it'd be very sentimental. I think in every decade, you should have big markets win 6 or 7 Stanley Cups. You should have a couple of middle markets and one kind of fluky small market every 10 years. The rest of it, the soccer model, the great players on the great teams for the great productions, for the stuff you can market worldwide. To me, that's where the business is going. And Gary Bettman is spinning the 1980s, 1990s expansion model onward into the future, and I think it's only going to hurt the league. Strongly worded memo to follow.
At least you. I'm always tired of you sitting on your hands, Bruce. I wish you'd really tell us how you felt. Ladislav Schmid is a great point that someone's brought up on the text line. His $3.5 million can be put on long-term injured reserve if he's not going to play. The only problem with that assumption is no one has said 100% Ladislav Schmid is not going to play. I think a lot of people believe he won't play, in which case you can put it on long-term injury reserve. But until that happens, we can add it to our list of assumptions, and you got another $3.5 million. And that is a nice little thing to add. And of course, also everyone's bringing up, you can trade some of these guys. Well, some of them you can, some of them you can't. If you're telling me someone wants to pay Mason Raymond $3 million and that he's going to waive his no move, I've got some stuff to sell you out of my garage.
Well, the other thing about the contract for Giordano is that if the NHL persists in having a floor, that in the back half of his contract, he may be a very attractive guy to somebody who's just trying to get to the floor and who they can, you know, as we've seen with the Pronger stuff, et cetera.
But the one thing I will say, there has not been a massive market and a huge demand to pick up a bad contract. There's so many out there, you have to sweeten the pot.
There'll be more.
If you're Arizona, you need to get to the floor. It's not like you're like, geez, we got to find a bad deal somewhere. Does anyone have a bad deal? Boy, these are hard to find. Oh, you've got a bad deal. Yes, let's... No, it's going to be the opposite. There's going to be every team in the league calling Arizona saying, take our bad deal. It's not going to be an easy thing to
make. But there's still budget teams. Carolina, I mean, you look at the NHL's economics. There's going to be lower ranked teams that are going to have to do this going forward. And I think that that's also a possibility for what you're looking at, is that guys on the back half of terrible contracts, the Ryan Kessler thing, you may buy those last 2 years of Ryan Kessler when he's in a total body cast. Yeah. And while you never want to predict that your stars are going to get hurt, the LTIR thing is a reality every year.
That's true.
And it does give you a break during the course of the season. So if Gio is an injured guy, and if he starts breaking down and maybe he's missing half of those seasons, you're going to get a break while he's on LTIR.
It's true.
Don't get me wrong.
On July 1st for that, right?
Yeah.
You're expecting everyone to make full salary. It is 8:39. We'll come back. Lynn, get me up to speed here. When was the last time you've co-hosted on the morning show, or has it been
last
eons?
Summer? I haven't done What You Want.
What You Want to Talk About is coming up next. Buckle up. Hang on tight. The listeners are in charge. It's the old whirly bird here. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Get connected. Text 960-960 to get your voice heard. Ryan Pinder in the morning on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
You're in charge. Drive us to the weekend, boys. It is Ryan Pinder, Bruce Dobigan in on your long weekend Friday. Give us a little juice. It sounds good, Jay. Beck, your artist of the day. Is this the new jam? I think I've heard this one on the radio. Right on.
He must be on the upper meds now. He was on the downer meds for the last record.
Yeah, that's true. He came out of the padded room with the straitjacket and hung out in the sun on a beach for a while. What You Want to Talk About is coming up. It is your chance to get interactive. 960-960. It's Bruce's first time, so let's give him a good ride. Let's dig for some clips shamelessly and go easy on him, would you?
What You Want to Talk About with Boomer and Pinder. Brought to you by Varsity Chrysler, home of Calgary's best selection of new and pre-owned vehicles. Go to varsitychrysler.com and shop where Geo shops.
All right. So you know how this works? You've heard this? Are you familiar?
I've heard it. Yeah,
All right. It's we'll basically 99% tomfoolery and 1% filler. That's essentially it. The first text coming in is simply a word that looks German to me and is a reference to a Bugs Bunny cartoon. It just simply states Hassenpfeffer.
Ah, yes.
I don't know what we're supposed to do. Is it Hassenpfeffer? You have anything
Hassenpfeffer to say? Hassenpfeffer is and I remember the cartoon with Bugs
Cook!
Bunny.
Cook! Where's my Hassenpfeffer?
So someone is very happy now because they've texted in one word and now got to hear the audio clip that they wanted to hear. Bruce, someone taking a shot at you here. Does published mean that you have a photocopier in your basement?
An old Gestetner. Remember the old Gestetners before we had Xeroxes?
I don't remember
that.
This
thing was like a big pool of blue ink and you'd run it off and it was at school and whoever the teacher was who did that and it always would leak over.
Oh, gross.
Yeah, I have one of those. That's what I do. Self-publishing, baby. That's the way.
All right. Is that the wave of the future?
Got to be. The publishers are all going broke.
Yeah. Well, hey, apparently you can read these things on iPads. You don't need to cut down trees and print, right?
That's the word.
Yeah. Lower cost inputs, I'd think. Who would the Jays rather trade, Bautista and Encarnacion? If you had a gun to your head and you're Alex and you had to trade one, what would you do?
I'd deal. And it depends on what you get. But Encarnacion would be the likely guy. Bautista, if you want to change the room culture a little bit, if you think he's too big a... He's swinging too big a stick in the dressing room, but that would be my preference is Encarnacion for a pitcher.
Yeah, and I wouldn't be against it because we've got as you look at that line, you've got so many power bats that have been added: Tulowitzki, Donaldson, Martin still has a lot of pop. They've found some serious production in the platoon of Smoke and Colabello that you can play at first.
You think the Dodgers would trade Zach Greinke for
Encarnacion?
No,
absolutely not.
I'll hang up and listen to you off air.
No, they'll hang up on you is what will happen. I like it when Pinder hosts because we don't get music from the Roaring Twenties. That coming in. This is our artist of the day when Boomer's usually in sound, something like this. A little more juice, Jay? Now, are you familiar with these sort of tunes?
Do the Continental.
What's that?
Do the Continental.
Okay, yeah.
I know, boom, yeah. Well, this was, I think at his wedding, this was the first dance, that music.
Pinder, apply for a transfer to Toronto and cover the Jays full-time. You're too good for Boomer. I like that that's a compliment.
Did you send that one to yourself?
I don't like that it is a shot at Boomer or that you used the wrong spelling of two.
Yes.
So maybe the praise is coming from a source that...
My favorite thing when people rip me on Twitter is that they always use
the grammar
improper
mistakes.
Grammar.
Yeah.
And when I confront them with that, then they get really bugged out.
My favorite follow on Twitter is simply a bot. You know what a bot
is?
Yeah. It searches and retweets stuff. It is the you're an idiot bot with your spelt the wrong way. And so every few minutes you get another person ranting and yelling at another person on Twitter saying you're an idiot spelt wrong. It's
fantastic. I tweeted one yesterday and somebody was doing a thing about the immigration and if you don't like our country, go away. And R is spelled A-R-E.
Yeah, exactly. Very good.
That's the culture, baby. No spelling.
Hey, Bruce, when are you publishing the unauthorized biography of Gary Bettman?
Next week on the Gestetner Machine. I'm going home to finish the last chip. It would be there is a good book about Gary, but an unauthorized bio of Gary would be a lot of fun.
Someone, a big fan of your work, had a wobbly table at home. Bruce's book fixed it, no problem.
Listen, and it holds open doors.
See, that's what the new iBooks can't do.
Yeah.
They're not nearly as good as doorstop or leveling
tables. I don't do
hardcovers
anymore, though. They usually come out in soft covers, not as good for the doors.
Dobigan is very bright. It allows Pinder to be an adult. Boomer, stay away. Except, again, Boomer's spelt wrong. So, again, is it a compliment
what
or
do
not?
They spell? B-U-M-E-R?
Bomber.
B-O-M-M-E-R. Well, maybe the Winnipeg Bombers. I don't know.
Bombers, stay away. We don't need
you. You can come back.
Go back to the East, Bombers.
We love you.
Jeez. What would Phil Esposito do with Mark Giordano? See, I don't know if you're familiar. Phil was very heated when he heard that Marty St. Louis wanted out of Tampa. In fact,
he doesn't want to leave.
He thought it was bogus. Like,
he doesn't get along with Yzerman. What a bunch of shit that is.
That's Phil.
So I think he's thinking that Gio would prefer to be in Calgary than elsewhere. I'd agree. I think
Phil is just legendary. What can I say?
Someone wondering about Hawk and Lube's scouting report. Hawk and listens to the station all the time.
Right.
People wondering what Hawk and thought of your performance on the morning show today. I don't know if we have
do
this,
we have a Hawk and
a little bit lazy. Ooh. A little bit unfit.
Wow, that's not very nice, is it?
I thought we were only on radio. I didn't know you could see how out of shape.
Lazy.
The performance was lazy, apparently.
Unfit.
Unfit to be on the radio. Oh wait, that's German.
Very skilled, but a little bit lazy. I hate when Pinder hosts because he just reads texts praising himself.
Well, yeah.
Is that just what I read? I just think,
well, if you want to listen to a host reading the negative ones, you listen to Steinberg because he reads all the ones where people are insulted.
I read all the crap. I have a website devoted to all the crap sent to me. Yeah. Has Bruce ever posted shirtless at Fish Creek? I had to do maternity photos on Tuesday. Oh my God. I can't get back into it. It was a train wreck of all train wrecks yesterday. All we have left that didn't get burnt out of the archives is Boomer's laugh when I showed him the one particular photo.
You've done maternity
where
photos?
I was wading in a pool.
What
shirtless.
Are maternity photos?
It is a. It's something that garners that kind of a reaction. Pinder, your relative Stacy is a bombshell. I don't know any Stacys. Now, Lucy, do not, whatever you're doing, if you're at a work computer, do not Google Lucy Pinder.
Okay.
No relation, from the UK. Uh-huh. Very smart.
Vast tracts of land is what you're saying?
It's immense.
Immense tracts of land.
Talents know no end. Yes. Bountiful, yes.
Let Monty Python would say, vast tracts of land.
Hey, Ryan, Bruce has done a great job. I wonder if you could get him a little lunch. I wonder if he wants a Diablo sandwich and a Dr. Pepper. Do you know what a Diablo sandwich is?
Let me have a Diablo sandwich of Dr. Pepper. Make it fast. I'm in a goddamn hurry.
Has Bruce ever been to Kenosi, Saskatchewan?
You know, not.
You haven't?
Not.
There's some really exciting
and
features.
And where is Kenosi?
I would think it's close to...
Fair Clock Casino and Lodge is located 3 miles south of Kenosi, Saskatchewan.
That's our boy.
Is that...
Back in the day.
Oh!
Roulette.
Well, then I'm going.
Slots. Blackjack. Big Wheel.
Listen to him go.
I believe there's
Fair Clock Casino and Lodge, space. 3 miles south of Kenosi, Saskatchewan.
So, like, he's working in a small radio station of those days. He's sitting there thinking, if only I could get to Calgary. And then
with
he
the
just
cold
pumped
weather,
that out.
Brandon Windshield Repair advises getting your rock chips and cracks repaired now before they spread.
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 Yes.
Downtown International Pickle Fest 97 is taking it to the streets September 5th and 6th.
September 5th and 6th.
Big Dick Cadillac.
Listen to him sell it. He's selling.
He's into it. Rip Boomer used to try.
Well, we know that's not happening anymore.
It's unbelievable. He was keen. You could hear there was spirit and hope in his voice.
Does he try on his holidays? Do you think he tries on his holidays?
I think he holidays well. I bet he's the best holidayer out there. Or he sleeps, he eats well, he gets sun.
Or does he just completely like...
No. When he comes back...
Go to an amoeba state.
No, his Monday back after holidays, always the best shows. And he's completely beaten down by... Midway through the show, Tuesday or Wednesday, but Monday is shot out of a cannon every time we get him back from vacation. Bruce, have you ever been to a sock hop?
Another reference to age.
It was a joke.
A hootenanny. I went to a hootenanny.
Yeah, well, apparently Jim Rutherford has. We had a clip of him in a press conference. And of course, we heard a rotary phone ringing in the background, and that led to the ragtime music. And
play a little Peter, Paul, and Mary for him. Yeah,
that know, might even be
go back
advanced.
To Hootenannies.
Yeah, I'm thinking more Tin Pan Alley music. Sound. Tom Brady is the best quarterback of all time. This is bogus media defaming him. Notice how no one got in trouble from ESPN for their false release of information with PSI. This is all a ploy by the NFL. Look who Tom plays when he comes back from suspension. Controversy sells.
I think Colin Coward would probably say that's why the Dominicans are in it because...
Wow,
oh, wait,
yikes.
No, don't say that.
Ooh, Colin Coward. Boy, he used to be in the media.
I love Coward. And he'll make a comeback, but yeah, he got caught up there. Maybe
well,
he wanted to
he
get
just
off
said something stupid that was moronic.
I know where he was going, what he was
he
trying
was
to
trying
say,
to, but
he didn't.
Did not do it the right way. And he
I
sounds,
know that never happens to you.
Of course not. Yeah. I've never had my foot in my mouth. Jay, we wouldn't have any audio of me. Do you remember that movie with Bill Murray where it kept happening over and
yeah.
over?
What's the Groundhog Day animal? Was it a groundhog? Yeah.
That's the one.
Yeah.
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 My favorite.
Ian, appreciate your time this morning, and thanks for your time this morning.
My favorite gaffe on air was I was doing a Pete Rose thing. He was going for the 44 games thing. I got to make
streak?
Sure.
Hit streak? Is that what
his
it was?
Hit streak.
Okay.
And I came on the air and I said, Pete Rose is two hits shy of the record, except I didn't say hits shy. I kind of I switched it inadvertently. Yeah.
And then wow.
That was followed by a lot of silence.
Yeah, well, the best thing to do is to keep talking, pretend it didn't happen. Because puck rhymes with a word you can't say
yes.
on the radio. And I used to do play-by-play. And every once in a while, it would be a pieing rather than a flying puck, if you know what I mean.
I called a guy a podiatrist once. Actually, it wasn't a podiatrist. It was another word, which is sort of for a guy who likes young boys. And I said that live on the air, too.
Okay.
And I meant to say it's podiatrist.
Different thing.
Yeah.
Not dissimilar in how they're spelled, but
thank
very
God.
Different. One held in high esteem in society, the
yes.
other not so much.
Not so much, it'll get you arrested, as a matter of fact.
Someone wondering about your feet. Have you ever had any foot issues? Have you collapsed arches? Anything
very
like that?
Painful right golf heel this season. Yeah.
Your left foot especially pronates quite a bit. That just means it rolls in a lot. You're flat-footed.
I'm flat-footed, apparently.
You're flat-footed.
I'm flat-footed.
I'm not. Every year when you golf, every year I have something wrong with my feet, but it's never the same thing. Just changes.
Maybe it's just the golf that's wrong with your feet.
Yesterday was very bad.
Yeah, it was
very
awful. Bad. It was the worst round I had all year yesterday.
Playing with Perry Berezan, it was distracting me.
Oh, it's horrible.
He smiles in your backswing, and you know the glow from his teeth, it just like distracts you.
Well, it's not the glow from his Stanley Cup ring, I noticed. He left town before. Oh, sorry, Perry.
Oh, see, if you ever get invited to play at Sirocco.
Well, probably not anymore.
No.
Does Bruce know where Czarly Zalapski played in the NHL? Could you list off any places where Czarly
Double
played?
Z was in Pittsburgh, and I think he was in Dallas. I think that's
Dallas.
Two of them.
Okay.
I think he had a...
Montreal and Calgary and Hartford and Pittsburgh.
Rockets got it.
Czarly Zalapski.
Oh, he's one of his favorites, is he? Has he got his trading card on his desk? I got to go up and see him.
Well, you can ask him.
I know
him.
I'm biased, but I don't care.
0-5, hey? Is he going to be in a mood today or what?
Oh,
and they got the top defense
scary.
In the CFL, arguably, coming
scary.
Up this weekend. Do you?
My next door neighbor is a Riders fan, and I usually would commiserate with him, but after 0-3, when I went to 0-4, nothing.
Blinds are drawn, lights never on,
the
weird howling and wailing noises coming out of the basement windows.
The cone of silence descended on his barbecue. He's not out on the porch anymore. I feel badly for him. Actually, I don't. I'd like to see the Riders get thumped.
Someone enjoyed hearing where Czarly Zalapski played, but wondering if you could recall where Christian Huselius spent some of his playing days.
Christian Huselius. Have you got that audio?
I think that's what we're digging for. Exactly. Yes. Well, Columbus, Calgary. Where?
Christian Huselius.
Huselius.
And Jerome Enigla.
Watch out there.
He did. Well, that was Bud Lynch.
Not good. Not good.
So, Bud was a good guy, you know.
Still
carrying shrapnel from the Second World War as he was doing the announcements in Detroit.
No kidding.
A wonderful man.
Hey, Bruce, on a scale of 1 to fantastic, how was working with Pinder today?
What are the other options?
Exactly. is Anthopoulos...
That sounds fantastic.
Fantastic.
Passable?
Fantastic. 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 Fantastic.
Don't put words in my mouth.
Bruce, is Alex going to trade for a leadoff hitter or another arm? Someone wants to know.
It was a Travis Schimockery. That was the word I was looking for. If I were him, I'd be looking for pitching because you know you can never have enough.
Pitching.
Exactly.
Yeah, they need a right-handed arm that's good. Right now, they've got a knuckleballer who I don't mind midway to late in the rotation. They have a lefty I like in Mark Burley, and they've got an ace in David Price. But your two righties are Marco Estrada, who has been going very well, and Drew Hutchison, who has given you, fits. You can't sleep at night.
See, here's the idea. If you make the wild card, it's a one-game thing,
yes,
right?
Yes, and you don't want it to be Hutchison's turn in the rotation.
And you don't want it to be any of the other guys, because would you want to go into a one-game showdown with the knuckleball, with Estrada, et cetera? You've got that guy now. If you get to the game, you've got David Price.
Pinder, it is a benefit for you to listen and learn from Bruce, you dummy. Keep up the good work, Bruce.
My wife sent that one, or what?
Have I not been listening to you?
I think it's been a constructive thing.
We've had some dialogue. I think I've learned a lot. I liked your stories of 92 and 93 being on the field.
I'll go home and carve you, but, you know, I mean,
that's
what we do in radio. You work with a guy and you act like the best friend,
it's
and you
media.
Go home and carve him.
Yeah, exactly. You shake hands and smile and stab him in the back. That's how you get up in this business.
It was the thing in Atlanta in 92 was, if you remember the game, the Blue Jays were ahead in the ninth and we were all behind the right field fence. They put us all back there, all of the crews, and they were going to open up the door and we're going to run on the field and get them. Blue Jays gave up the lead, so now we're in extra innings. And there's nothing worse than the media guy who's missing his deadline.
Oh, yeah.
And then finally, of course, the Blue Jays got a couple more, I think, in the top of the 10th and hung on. And then we all charged out on the field, and there was David Winfield dance. I think he danced with me.
He danced with you?
Yeah.
Was he a good dancer?
He turned looking for a player, and sort of the arms were out, and I was there with my camera crew and my microphone, and he sort of gave me a hug like
who we were led? On board. Was he leading or did you lead?
It was that music you played before.
Yeah.
No one leads. You both do your own thing.
All right. What do we got coming up in the nine, Bruce, before we do our last text and get out of here?
Well, I'm going to listen to Stephen Brunt once again, talking a little bit about CFL and also about the Olympic decision today. Beijing. Get your passport updated, because more Asian travels. And Shai Davidi is going to join us at 9:25. We'll talk some more baseball.
Yeah, and I think Brunt's also got some insights on the David Price deal, the second blockbuster in 3 days for the Jays. One final question for Bruce from the text line. Do you have any idea how Peter Loubardius smells?
Lou! I just spent an afternoon with Lou in the smallest studio. Do you know the Toronto studios?
Yeah, yeah. The old or the new?
Yeah, the old ones. Yeah. Very small. Lou and I, he was fresh as a daisy.
Terrific.
Indeed he does.
He did that day, and I don't know how I smelled because I ran to the studio.
Probably not terrific, no. To be sure.
Old guy sweat smell in a studio. That's what you want to have.
It is 9:01. We've got an update. We've got your medley on the way out. Bruce has got Shai Davidi as well as Stephen Brunt coming up next.
I'll see you Tuesday.
This has been What You Want to Talk About. Looking forward to it next week very much. Okay. We have stories to share, and it should be fun. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
You're flat-footed.
Big bag of garbage. A mattress in the left-hand lane.
Zoom, zoom.
Hey, Pat, f*** off.
What a bunch of sh**. That is.
I shit my pants last night.
I have no shoes on. I'm sorry.
Vodka beep.
Oh my God.
Thank God no one's listening to this.
What you want to talk about with Boomer and Pinder. Brought to you by Varsity Chrysler, home of Calgary's best selection of new and pre-owned vehicles. Go to varsitychrysler.com and shop where Geo shops.